Welcome, Waleed Ahmed.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rena. Nice to meet you and have the opportunity to share some thoughts about our common topics.
Great. So as a reminder, this is a series to talk about the quandary in healthcare, as I call it, and that being the common recognition that our healthcare systems pretty much around the world are broken. We have an issue of the balance between innovation and the affordability of that innovation across the world, as well as a disconnectivity between the major decision makers in healthcare, which are patients, providers, pharma, payer, and policymaker. So today, I'm particularly excited to welcome Waleed, because he brings really a unique view, almost like a quote-unquote what I call neutral view, and you come across as not taking particularly partisan positions on any of the five P's, but you work a lot to help build bridges across the different stakeholders, and you also, we will discover, are an expert in certain ways around digital solutions in healthcare, but we'll talk about this a little bit later. Today, Waleed is managing partner of Bright Insight, and he is the chief empowerment officer of NENI, and he'll explain to us what this is. Waleed is a holds a degree in biology, actually, so he is a scientist as a background, has a scientist background, and is evolving this knowledge into, as we said, engineering or let's say digital solutions in healthcare, but he has a particular eye on the patient as well. So Waleed, without further ado, I'll jump right into asking you my first question around the title of the series is Let's Talk Value. So is there, in terms of like the flip side, what is preventing more sustainable value generation in healthcare right now? What comes to your mind and any particular sources of frustration that you have either personally or in your job that you want to share before we switch to what can be solutions?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Maybe some common knowledge. I think the healthcare system is kind of more and more being fragmented, so the patient is touching a lot of care providers on his path for treatment. The degree of specialization is raising, and also of course the costs are raising up because of scientific developments, new treatments, etc., etc. This is of course one system inherent kind of factor in it. But maybe not so much to be influenced, but on the other side, of course, there are some, I think, at least in the healthcare systems I know, and maybe some disclaimer, I can just talk about Western and developed countries. It might be completely different in another part of the mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. But I think we all know that the system of incentives is actually broken and not focusing on what's really important in the medical treatment of patients. I once yeah. heard a story from ancient China. I don't know if it's really true, but helps to shift the mind a little bit, where it was said that doctors were actually paid by their patients as long as they were healthy. And as soon as the patients got sick, they didn't get any money from them. So this might be an utopian approach and a very radical one, but just to imagine how it could be different compared to what we have now, where we have transaction-based payments and not outcome-based.
I think it's a great definition. I love it. You know, what many people say, what the hell is value-based healthcare? And you just said it. It's like, it is measuring outcomes, what matters to patients and how healthy patients are. And I have to tell, maybe it's not so utopian. I remember the CEO of Jefferson Health, a provider network in the US, who said at a panel discussion in Davos last year, in the future, we will not be paid for how many patients are in our beds in our hospitals, but we will be paid for how healthy our population is. So Waleed, I think you nailed it. We could close the talk now, but I think we want to hear more from you. So this is a great starting point. And I think we'll come back to the fragmentation piece a little bit, because I think that's where digital can help, actually. But before we get there, any other thoughts? You already mentioned, like, you know, the patient seeing different doctors because of the good news is there are so many specialties and so many solutions. But for the patient, it can be a burden because they need to go from Dr. A to Dr. B to Dr. C. So that would be patients and doctors. Any other views that you have where stakeholders would need to work closer together to get to that Chinese utopian view of better health? Any other players that you see that are important or that you're missing right now with a stronger voice?
Yeah, I think one problem is that the patient is actually not, you know, following this path always in a straightforward way, but doing unnecessary loops because the healthcare providers are not coordinated and not coordinating themselves very much. So I think this is the most important part where digital solutions can help to mitigate the risk for these fragmentations in providing means for good information exchange, for coordination, also for transparency, and also for the patient to be recognized as a partner in this whole story. So the aspect of patient empowerment and health literacy is also very, very important. And I think there's a long way to go. But coming back to the patient reported outcomes, the problems, I'm very glad that this is actually a big topic at the moment, and hope it will help to shape the future.
Yeah. So I think patient empowerment is a great segue, because I think with the whole principle of value-based healthcare, it starts with looking at what matters to patients. And I think that is not a healthcare specific topic. I think any industry says we need to be customer focused and we need to do what matters to customers, and then they're ready to pay for it. So that is not
traditionally
new.
Healthcare is not so much customer focused than any other business.
Isn't that odd? Strange, yes, right? I always find
most
this
important
strange
thing, but not the patient is rarely in the center of the attention.
Right. So that is almost like the root cause on, you know, that led to a lot of the issues we have right now in healthcare, that we got kind of got disconnected from the patient that should be the center. And I think there's a lot of solutions right now that can help bring it back and create more value to anybody actually in the system. So Waleed, to the digital solutions, you know that I always love to talk with you around quote unquote EPD, and we will tell the audience in English it's slightly different. It's electronic patient records. But maybe here also to say that both of us right now sit in Switzerland, and I think Switzerland has a particular history in terms of when we talk about fragmentation, because healthcare is owned by the canton, so by the state, and we have 26 cantons for 8 million inhabitants. So, you know, 26 fragmentation. And I think Switzerland somehow is leading the way with EPD to help and centralize. It's not easy, it's a bumpy road, but maybe you can help us enlighten a little bit how you think that could help, let's say in 10 years from now, what would good look like thanks to EPD?
Yeah, I'm glad to talk about it. Maybe one sentence or two about my background. Actually in 2007, Switzerland started with an e-health strategy with one aim to create a national law about the electronic patient record, EPD in German, which is actually a personal health record because the patient has got access to it and can also provide documents into it. And I joined this legislative project in end of 2012. So you see it's already a long way until today. And just 5 days ago, actually, the first real EPR was opened in the canton of Aargau.
So congratulations, amazing milestone.
We are now really heading into a new phase. And I was involved on the regulatory side for the Federal Office of Public Health in shaping the ordinances important for interoperability and guaranteeing the patient's rights about data security, privacy, etc. So Switzerland is not the first country, of course, and some other examples are also in Europe and other areas of the world. And it's really a thorny way to find the right balance between regulatory constraints to guarantee a common level of security, also to have common standards for data interoperability. And it's a very exciting phase we will see in Switzerland now, because of these fragmented healthcare system with the cantons actually in the main competence of providing healthcare to the population. So I'm very excited to be part of it, not for the federal office anymore, but having different activities with a lot of stakeholders who provide these solutions. And also on the technical level, it's quite exciting and important.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I think two things that I noted, and maybe for our audience to be encouraged, don't give up. Yes, it takes a very long time. So please do not, you know, give up, help each other as colleagues and steer up. There will be moments you are very tempted to, I guess, drop the ball and drop the hot potato and not pursue it. So here in this case, it has taken at least 8 years just for one single canton. So there's 25 more cantons to go, but I know that there's a strong team.
They will follow up shortly, but as a biologist, as you said, I'm kind of receiving or seeing it as kind of an evolution that will start now, and giving the patients a new role and a new opportunity to take part in being a partner for the healthcare providers, and also to demand more services, more transparency, and more efficiency in using these digital tools.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, as a second piece from what you said, is if we look, I'm sure in 10 years' time, we will look back and we will say, now finally we have one tool to help the navigation of the patient across all those different doctors. We said initially, you know, Dr. A, B, C, D, and different pharmacists and different cantons, and maybe one doctor sits in Canton Zurich and the other sits in Canton Bern, maybe. So in the future, with one central source of data that on top of it, the patient has control over and can, as a proactive partner, contribute and be less of just a receiver customer, but also a proactive partner is great. So do you want to enlighten us what NINI stands for?
Yeah, NINI is a short abbreviation for the National eHealth Network Initiative. It goes back to a vision while working in the Federal Office of Public Health that there's so much unused potential still in the area of e-health and the EPR in particular, because the actors and organizations, stakeholders who have knowledge and who will benefit from it are also very fragmented, working on their own silos and not communicating and talking to each other how to agree upon interoperability. And by interoperability, I don't mean only the technical layer like data exchange and the semantic layer, but also on the process level and also on the legal and on the legal level, because all these levels are actually interconnected and intertwined with each other. You cannot solve just the technical level and ignore the processual levels and the organizational processes as well as the legal levels. So it is very important that all these experts and stakeholders from these areas of expertise come together and develop a common picture how actually use cases should be realized on the technical level, on the process level, etc. And in Switzerland, there is no body to actually govern this and get these people together. So my vision, which is not my vision alone anymore, was to create something bottom up, explicitly calling it a do tank, because it's not about just doing the talk, but also walking the walk and producing specifications and solutions and concepts that can help to gain actually and use the potential that is still there. Because, you know, it was a thorny and bumpy road to this first EPR, and everybody was focused on providing just the necessary minimum required by the law. But there's so much more. The phase where we now can create value for the patients, for the healthcare providers, and everybody involved.
Yeah, so basically the kind of the electronic patient record or dossier is the foundation of the house. Now we need to continue and build the house and have the different workers that contribute to building in house and experts to work together to get that house done. And exactly. I think you mentioned something important to break down silos. And I think that's the other big upside and potential of digital too. It helps actually connect the people and help with interoperability, as you said, not only of the data, but also the process.
And I also feel some kind of urgency to really move on in a way that is really focusing on the patients, because as we all know, healthcare is a big business. There's a lot of money flowing around, and there are enough companies trying to get a foot into this this area, like the big GAFA companies, trying to provide healthcare services. And I think it's important that we now start to build on this foundation, as you mentioned, because it's kind of a regulatory guarantee that the rights of the patients will be respected. And we don't have this guarantee so much if we just let the big companies solve it all.
Yeah, so, I think it really requires a crosstalk. And I remember having spoken with one lawmaker / policymaker this summer, actually, in Switzerland, who was saying, we really need to make progress in building these bridges between the public and the private sector and stop the finger pointing. And it's also kind of actively stopping distrusting each other. And just because money is involved is not necessarily bad. And the other way around, from the private sector also to trust that the policymaker is sometimes very clever too. And then we can, you know, it's not only procedural, but, you know, they're really co-creative and innovative people on both sides of the edges. And I think when you say breaking down silos, that is something that where the public sector and the private sector really can synergize more than they can differentiate. They can
complement to each other.
And both the companies to each other. Right.
Berechtigung, their
justification. Legitimacy. Yes.
And a state regulated system by the state will never be as sexy as some innovative companies. Yeah.
That's right. Well, that is great. So I think a lot of messages here around patient centricity, empowerment, digital solutions that can help with interoperability, people working together to align on data processes and legal hurdles to, you know, align those. Anything to close with, Waleed, that was on top of your mind also going into this, you know, series and coming to the podium today that you wanted to share with the audience around value in healthcare?
Okay, so maybe not the final words, but I think it's important to understand that medicine is more or less a data-driven discipline, and data and information is really important to be able to be exchanged in a way that the patients and also the providers can trust. And because it's highly complex with different interests from all these stakeholder groups, it's very important to find a common platform and collaborate with each other to use the unused potential for all of us.
And to create
value. Because I think transparency is also kind of a magic bullet, a silver bullet for avoiding unnecessary healthcare costs. And now Absolutely. Everybody is in his silo and doesn't see what happened before and what is happening in parallel. So it's important to have also this transparency about what the treatment concerns.
Well, wonderful. Very nice conclusion. And I want to thank you again, Walid, for joining me and us today and wishing you all the best with Nini and Bright Insights.
My pleasure. Thank you, Verena, for offering this opportunity.